Good day, and welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Adele Barr. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hello, and welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. During our time together today, we will explore how to successfully complete the APOR for the period of January 1st, 2018, through December 31st, 2018. And once again, my name is Adele Barr, and I will be leading today's session. Let's go ahead and we can go to the next slide. Okay, we can go on forward to the objectives for today. So after completing this training, after our time together, you should be able to recognize your responsibilities regarding the APOR, accurately and completely answer each question on the report before submitting it, complete the questionnaire using SurveyMonkey, and finally, you should be able to complete the security awareness training. We'll go ahead and go into the overview. And here you see the definition for the APOR, and we just like to let you know that every EN is required to provide information each year to the Ticket Program Manager, TPM, on outcomes it achieved with respect to services it offered ticket holders. And some information provided in the APOR is used to populate the EN profile. Going on to the next slide, we'll talk about completing and returning the APOR to the TPM is mandatory for every EN. So I emphasize this on yesterday's call again. Completing and returning the APOR to the TPM is mandatory for every EN, as it is stated in the ENTPA Part 3, Section 8B, which reads, the EN shall provide an APOR to the TPM on an annual basis in a format prescribed by SSA. The APOR shall provide information on outcomes achieved by the EN with respect to services offered by the EN to the beneficiaries, as well as information relating to TPA administration. So I'll take this time at the top of our call to indicate that the following groups are not required to complete the APOR. And those would be the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agency, the VRs, the American Job Centers, the AJCs, and EMs with contract award dates in calendar year 2018 or 19. So I'd like to just repeat those again since I flubbed there a little bit. Again, the following groups are not required to complete the APOR: the State Vocational Rehabilitation Agencies, American Job Centers, and ENs with contract award dates in calendar year 2018 or 19. Now, if you find yourself wondering, should I still be on this call, you are more than welcome to stay and listen for the information, but also know that you are required to complete the SSA Reform SSA 222 training online, and if you just want to find out where that is and follow those steps, you can go to the resource section on yourtickettour.ssa.gov, and then on the left, you would click on Resource Documents and look under Program Resources, and you'll find that information there for you. We'll go on and talk a little bit about the APOR framework on the next slide there. Okay, the APOR will be sent out to ENs on February 1st. You will have 28 days to complete it and submit to the TPM by February 28, 2019. Your EN must only submit one APOR. So if by chance, if your APOR is submitted multiple times, only the first submission will be counted. And if your EN submits your APOR in error or by mistake, please go ahead and send an email to SSA ENAPOR, at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and this way TPM can delete that submission and then send you a new survey link. The TPM will be sending reminders to ENs that have not responded to the APOR each Monday until the submission deadline, which is February 28, 2019. And if you feel that you've received this email reminder in error, please go ahead and send an email to the APOR inbox. And I just want to make sure that we all understand that it is imperative that your agency's APOR is completed in a timely manner. Failure to do so will constitute a violation of your EN's TPA and could result in the Social Security Administration limiting your agency's ability to assign tickets and receive payments, and additionally could cause to terminate the contract. So again, very important that you complete this by February 28, 2019. All right, so we'll go on to the survey link email. Okay, as you see here, the screenshot where you can see begin survey. On February 1st, you'll receive an email from SSAENAPOR at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. This email will indicate that you need to begin survey, which is the APOR questionnaire. But before you click Begin Survey, you'd want to review the questions included in the APOR. And just so that you know, the questions will be available or are available in the resource documents under Resources. Now, when you first, here on slide 9, what you'll see when you first open the APOR, this is the first page that you will see. The introduction page includes instructions for completing the APOR, so I'd like to take a little bit of time and just review those with you quickly. Number one, review the resources for your assistance at the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website. Number two, you want to ensure that you review the 43 APOR questions. We highly recommend that you review the APOR questions posted to the yourtickettowork.ssa.gov website prior to completing the actual APOR. Number three, with reviewing those questions, you want to prepare your responses. Preparing your responses after your review of the APOR questions and prior to entering the actual APOR questionnaire will allow you to research and gather the data needed to easily answer the questions on the APOR. Number four, complete the APOR. Once you have prepared your responses, enter the APOR questionnaire as provided by the TPM via SurveyMonkey and record your responses. So step five, submit your responses. Each EN is allowed to submit one complete response. So you can also use the frequently asked questions to assist you as you complete the APOR. And, of course, for your assistance, if you have any questions, please be sure to email SSAENAPOR at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov with the subject line APOR Assistance, and be sure to include your DUNS. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the questions. Well, the basic outline for it. There are 43 questions on the APOR categorized into three sections. We have a general question section, the staffing question section, and EN service related questions. Now, if you've been with us for a few years, you know that this year, or you may have noticed that the APOR does not include the ticket holder related questions. So you will no longer need to provide this type of information. And these were the questions which included the questions of calculations. So I think some of us are saying yes. Okay, going on to the next slide, on slide 12, here you'll see that there are 23 general questions. These questions seek information relating to ticket requirements for an employment network. In this section, the EM business model is requested. Now, from a little bit of experience, we found that in the past, and those previous responses, there was some confusion by the term business model and or how to properly respond to this question. So for that, I'll go ahead and go over the current models. We have four models currently. We have the traditional EN, the consumer-directed services EN, the employer EN, and an administrative EN. The traditional EN provides employment services and other support services directly to the ticket holder. A consumer-directed services EN reimburses the ticket holder for ticket-related services purchased by the ticket holder. An employer EN primarily employs ticket holders from whom it has assigned tickets. And the last model is the administrative EN, which serves as the EN of record for a network of service providers who combine their resources to provide services to the ticket holders. So again, currently we have four models: the traditional EN, consumer-directed services, employer EN, and the administrative EN. And in addition to the business model, there are also questions relating to liability insurance, suitability, and the system for award management registration, also known as SAM. And here on slide 13, you'll see that there are staffing questions. There are 8 staffing questions. These questions seek information relating to the staffing at the EN and the number of staff for ticket and verification of PII training. So those staffing questions should be simple enough. And then we go on to slide 14. Here we see that the EN service-related questions. There are 12 EN service-related questions, and these questions seek information regarding services provided by the EN to the beneficiaries at all EN locations. Okay, so here on slide 15, you see the Done button. So when you click the Done button to submit the APR to TPM, but prior to hitting that Done button, please ensure that you've printed each individual page to obtain a record of your responses. So have no worries. You can actually click the previous button to go back without losing your answers. So again, before you click Done, just click Previous so you can record each one of those responses. And remember that this needs to be submitted by February 28th to remain in compliance. Okay, so that was short and sweet, APOR. But again, we talked about the fact that you should be able to complete your security awareness training. So we'll go over a little bit of that as well here. Okay, so I'll go on to slide 17. Completing security awareness training. Very similar to last year, security awareness training will be completed at the same time as the APOR. Now, all EN staff will be required to review, sign, and submit the SSA 222 form by, that's right, you guessed it, Thursday, February 28, 2019. And regardless of how recently EN staff have submitted the SSA, 222 form, and or addendum must be resubmitted. New this year, the completed forms will be electronically signed and submitted to Security Awareness Training 222 at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. Okay, well, who needs to complete the training? All EN staff must complete the SSA 222 regardless of systems access. And a completed SSA 222 for all EN staff must be kept on file at your office. So at the EN's office location, make sure to keep a copy of that. Now, if your EN has multiple staff, the SSA 222 addendum must be completed by the signatory authority or the suitability contact confirming that all staff have completed the SSA 222 form and that a copy is kept on site. Also, just as the APOR, the SSA 222 addendum must be submitted to Social Security annually. And again, all staff must be listed on the addendum to confirm a SSA 222 form is kept on site. Okay, so here on slide 19, we let you know how to reach this section by going to yourtickettowork.ssa.gov, and you go to resources, you choose forms, and then the SSA 222 form and the addendum are located under the maintenance heading. Okay, so on 20, on slide 20 here, we'll talk a little bit about why this happened. This was basically to, what we've done this year is to expedite the process. TPM will be collecting the SSA 222 addendum using electronic signatures. So get, ENs are responsible for maintaining a copy of the form with a physical signature on file for all of the employees. And the date on the form on file must match the dates listed on the SSA 222 addendum for each employee. So make sure that those dates match. And in order to electronically sign the addendum, you want to ensure that you have the most recent version of Adobe Reader available at their website as listed here. And again, the signatory authority must sign the SSA 222 addendum and be sure to list all the employees in the top portion of that form. And again, the addendum must be signed and submitted by February 28th. Okay, so when you, what you see here on slide 21 is basically where that electronic signature will go. So the next few slides show you what to select. So we will just quickly go through each of the slides until we get to slide 25, just so that you see what you're going to select. So here we have slide 22. And then we have slide 23, creating a new digital ID. And here's a look at slide 24, save to file. But here, slide 25, I'd like to point out that you want to ensure that you ensure that the country region is listed as the United States. But more importantly, I wanted to point out the key algorithm, which should be listed as 2048-bit RSA, and that the digital ID use is set to digital signatures. Again, this is available on the website, just giving you a look at it so you can see what that looks like right now. And on slide 26, just know that by default, the digital ID file will save this to your desktop. You have the capability of saving it in another location. And we also want to make sure that you ensure that you create a password for the digital ID, which will encrypt your signature file. And so, again, the next few slides is basically going to show you what to select. So when we look at slide 27, you want to click on Create. Then you have slide 28, where it should have you select Draw. And now here on slide 29, this slide basically will guide you on how to draw your signature. And then here on slide 30, This slide indicates how to modify if for any reason you wanted to change the way that looked, and of course, how to save it. On slide 31, this will be your saved on your computer for future use. So if you use the same computer, this will be available for you. And remember to type in the password that you previously created here in the left-hand corner, and then you would click sign. On slide 32, I just want to iterate that when you sign the electronic document, it's going to prompt you to save it as a new file. Just be sure to append it with the word signed to the end of the document file name to indicate that this is the signed version of the document. That's our suggestion. You can certainly call it anything you like, but I think that will be helpful to just append it with signed. All right, and here on slide 33, you'll see the signed copy. Now, as I mentioned, we went through these really quickly. It is available on our website. And for your reference, if you go to slide 35, just want you to know what resources are available for you. You want to go to our website and you click on resource documents and then resource section, and you'll have access to the APR questions, the frequently asked questions, and today's PowerPoint. And just to summarize and to review what we spoke about today, now that we've completed the training, you should be able to recognize your responsibilities regarding the APOR. You should accurately and completely answer each question on the report before submitting it. And you should be able to complete the questionnaire using SurveyMonkey. And, of course, finally, you should be able to complete the security awareness training. As indicated at the top of the hour, this should be short and sweet, but we will go ahead and take this time and open up the lines for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure the mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach the equipment. Again, that is star 1 for questions. We'll pause just a moment.
Thanks, Audra, but let's check with John. Do we have any questions in the chat?
Yes, give me 1 second to flag one more question here, and then I'll start reading those off.
Thank you for that.
All right. Our first question comes from Stephanie, who asks, there are 4 services listed in question 43, resume writing, transportation, training, and wage reporting. Can we get some information as to how Social Security defines these?
You said that was question 43, John?
Yes.
Okay, and that's coming from whom again?
That's coming from Stephanie.
Okay. Okay, help me out. Yeah. Repeat that one more time.
Absolutely. So there's 4 services listed on that question. They're resume writing, transportation, training, and wage reporting. And she wants to get some clarification as to how Social Security defines those particular services.
Oh, you know what would be helpful? If we look back to the IWP training, because those are those should be listed on the IWP, because I don't have that in front of me right now, but I'm pretty sure that all of these, you can get more insight for these in your IWP training. And then if you have any questions.
Yep. And Stephanie, if you have any questions past that, you can certainly contact the SFAENATOR inbox, and we can help you with that.
All right. And our next question comes from Pamela Cross, who asks, can you have more than one business model? Let's say you are a traditional EN. Sometimes you work with ENs relating to employment, and sometimes you may hire an individual within your company if there is a position that matches that individual's skill set.
Hi, Pamela. Yes, you can have multiple business models. In fact, we do collect that data on the APOR. However, if you are operating under two business models, this should be approved through Social Security, which you'll need to submit some additional information, and you can contact EN Service or your EN specialist, and they will be able to help you with that.
But if I could add, it could be possible if it's not what you ordinarily do, and there was just this one particular individual that you said, I'm going to hire them, that would definitely just be described as a one-off and not necessarily that you need a whole completely new model. So I just wanted to add that.
All right. And she went ahead and said a thank you in the chat. And for now, that's all the questions I have flagged. So we can go ahead and open up the line.
Thanks, John.
And we do have a question on the phone. We'll go to Erica Lane at ABC Solutions.
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just wanted to find out. I'm signed up for the IWP training. Now, the security training is something completely separate?
Hi. The security awareness training that we've been referencing is not an actual training. Mm-hmm. It's just simply a form that you need to read and sign.
Oh, okay.
That you are right. You're aware.
Okay.
Yep.
Just wanted to make sure. Thank you.
I'm glad you did that. Thank you for bringing that up.
It's confusing. The name is.
And as a reminder, that is star one for questions. We'll go next to Clint Sargent at Crossroads of Western Iowa.
Yes, we're in the process of going to be terminating our EN status to work with administrative EN, and that will be happening. If that happens prior to February 28th, do we need to complete the APOR?
Nope. You can just send an email to the SSA ENAPOR, and we'll make a note that you do not need to complete it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Angela Sampson at Work Steady Works.
Yes. Thank you. I want to get a clear understanding. Will we be electronically signing both the SSA 222 form and the addendum?
Hi, the 222 form cannot be electronically signed. That simply needs to be signed, hand-signed, and kept at your EN location. The addendum needs to be electronically signed and list everybody at your agency that has completed that form. The only exception to this is if you're a one-stop shop, one single contact for all of your EN contacts, then you will need to sign the 222 and scan that to the inbox.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll go next to Judy Sanderson at GSIL.
Hi, Judy.
Judy, you may have your phone on mute.
Judy?
I'm sorry. There I am. I was on mute. It took me a minute. I apologize.
It's okay. It happens to the best of us, Judy.
I just needed clarification. For those of us at our agency that have portal access, we are still getting the notice when we go into the portal that we had better get our forms in by February 5th or we're going to lose access. Do I need to send an addendum in for the four of us by the 5th? And then do the rest of them by the 28th, or what's the best way to deal with that?
So the best way to deal with it is to send everybody in together, and if your account is in jeopardy of being shut down due to signature dates, please note that in your email submission, and we will be sure to catch it before it expires. We are, okay. Every time we receive a form, we are checking the signature dates to make sure your access doesn't lapse. But we are processing a ton of them, so it's helpful if you can prioritize that for us.
Okay, then I may still run into a time crunch because they're telling us that we have to have ours in by next Tuesday. And I have about, there are four of us in the portal that have that. And I have about another 20 staff that will also need to be put on the addendum. I will not have all of them by next Tuesday. So I won't
be able to
submit by next Tuesday.
So in your case, I would just go ahead and split it up.
Okay, so that is okay. All righty. I will
yep.
do that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And no other questions in the queue at this time, but again, that is star one.
Thanks. Do we have anything in the chat, Don?
Yeah, we have a couple questions that have built up here. All right. Our first question comes from Cheryl Holman, who asks, will staff that have not completed suitability be required to complete the SSA 222?
Yes.
All right. And our next question comes from Claire Oliver, who asks, do admin ENs need to fill out the APOR?
One more time, John.
Do admin ENs need to fill out the APOR?
Yes. If you are an admin EN in the sense that you're the EN of record, yes, you do need to complete it. And if you are the rare case that you are an admin EN, but you're also an EN affiliate under someone else, you need to complete it as the EN of record.
All right, and it looks like for now that's all the questions we have in the chat.
Audra, do we have any in the queue?
No questions in the queue at this time.
So, with that said, looks like we're going to give you some time back today. We certainly do appreciate you joining us, and again, lots of resources for you online. Again, February 28th is when your information is due, unless other discussions were had. But everyone, have a great rest of the day, and thanks again for joining us.
That's concluded today's conference. Again, thank you for your participation.